pastor, Booker T. Hayes, Jr.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Thank you.
Christ is the head of the church. To our illustrious host and honorees, put your hands together for Elder David. just like blue. But it's the same account. Ordered by Paul.
Please.
And Lord, for Dr. Hurl. He said something powerful. That is, we should come to the house of the Lord with the spirit of expectation. How many of you are expecting God to do something? Expecting God to show up. If you worship Him in spirit and in truth, you will build a throne. But what thou wilt. I would like to speak to you briefly from this part. Whatever it takes, I will. Whatever it takes, I will. Let us pray. Father, we thank you right now. And we praise you. For this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for what you've already done in this service. We are expecting more from you. In the name of Jesus, let your healing virtue flow right now. Touch, Lord God. Touch that person's ears, that they hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Touch, heal, bring deliverance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou. His heart was so burdened before the Lord. And the results were the walls were built in Jerusalem in an incredible time. Elijah was a man of prayer. And he prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heaven gave open, the heaven opened up, and rain fell, and the earth brought forth her fruit. However, Jesus is the ultimate model and master of prayer. For we see at the start of his ministry, he rose up out of water at his baptism. The heavens were open, and the Holy Spirit descended while he was praying. Before choosing his disciples, Jesus spent all night in prayer. And as they followed him, they discovered that his habit was to rise early and pray before the sun rose. And even as his popularity exploded, he would slip away from the masses to the wilderness, and Jesus would pray. It was in his Sermon on the Mount, he explained the fundamentals of how to pray. He taught and challenged his disciples to watch and pray, and to pray without ceasing. Jesus was a prayer. He angrily threw the money changers out of the temple, saying, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And before his betrayal and crucifixion, Jesus, he got alone and he prayed. And so when you look at this text, this is Mark writing in this 14th chapter, it's quite obvious that Mark let us know that all of the disciples did not get the opportunity to see some things. Jesus separated himself from all the disciples except Peter, James, and John. Now I find that quite interesting, because it was Peter, James, and John that boasted about their ability and willingness to suffer with him. And so now Jesus takes them with him so they can see the struggle that he would encounter with the baptism and in the bitter cup. Peter, James, and John were allowed to witness an horrific scene so that they might learn and be able to teach others that the way to glory is through suffering. Hallelujah. Some things the other disciples just didn't get the opportunity to see. And when you look at that, you can't help but wonder. You can't help but wonder what kind of maturity it takes to understand and deal with a scene like this. For Mark points out that Jesus was overwhelmed with sorrow. You and I, we know that there are some situations and circumstances that transpire in life that you and I, we just can't handle. The only way we can deal with these situations and circumstances is by the grace of God. Peter, James, and John saw something the other disciples did not see. They saw Jesus overwhelmed with sorrow. He was heavy. He was sore amazed. And his first feeling was one of terrifying surprise. He began to experience extreme agony and pressure beyond our imagination. These words, sore, amazed, in the Greek means utter and extreme fright, horror, terror, bewilderment, and terrifying surprise. Now Jesus is God in the flesh. And so the question arises, how can God in the flesh be surprised about anything? How can Jesus feel something in an experience that omniscient would not already know? For Mark points out, as long, hallelujah, as he foreseen the passion, the suffering, and the death by the way of the cross, when it came clearly into view, there were terrors that exceeded, it would seem, his anticipation. His soul experienced certain things through his suffering. For the writer of Hebrews makes it clear when he said, Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. The last lesson of obedience, it begins with a sensation of an inconceivable awe. Then came an overwhelming distress. Jesus, my brothers and sisters, he suffered beyond all our imagination. It was in Gethsemane we see Jesus. He's bearing all our grief. We see Jesus carrying all our sorrows. The terror and the heaviness was so painful until it almost killed him. And he shared that with Peter, James, and John when he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. The stress, the tremendous pressure that Jesus was under was swelling up in him to such a degree that he almost exploded. The Luke record that Jesus' sweat was as great drops of blood falling to the ground. He told Peter, James, and John, he said, watch. That is to be praying lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And so, my brothers and sisters, we must remember that Jesus came for one reason, and that is to save. He did not come to earth just to be beat with gold stripes in order to pay the price for him. peace. I'm seemingly destitute of peace. Thank you. got power. The gifts are here. We just have to exercise the gifts.
I'm talking about our different head of the head. I know what you're talking about. Talking about our head.